Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You don't think that it's time that somebody cared enough to have a dream?
Why are you getting so upset? This is not about you.
Yes, it is. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman.
At some point, you gotta decide for yourself who you are. Can't let nobody make that decision for you.
How do you go about getting an exorcism?
I beg your pardon?
Hi, this is Mark Kermode. Thanks for downloading this Kermode on Film podcast. This is part two of my conversation with the great Greg Proops, who I am thrilled to welcome back to the podcast from across the other side of the Atlantic. Greg, welcome. How are you?
Thank you, Mark. Much better than I was. I had to talk you down off the fence a couple of weeks ago because you really thought they were going to be able to steal it. And now you see, not only did is it a landslide, or as we like to call it here, a mandate, it's also withstood what 25 legal challenges.
Yeah, he's lost 22 for 22. He won one and then it was overturned. So just to get people into the zone, I know this podcast is called Kermode on Film. We're not talking about film in this podcast. We're talking about the election. Incidentally, every now and then people tweet me and they go, I was listening to your podcast. I listen for the film, not for the politics. In that case, find another podcast. The two are not, they're not separable. I talk about film. I talk about politics. If you don't like it, there's a bunch of people out there who aren't talking about it. I'm sure they would welcome your patronage. In the meantime, this is half an hour of me and Greg talking about what the actual F is going on in America, because the last time we spoke, it was before the election. As you quite rightly say, I was so worried that it wasn't going to go well. Now, since then, there was the sort of 3 or 4 days in which the results were coming in. And then there was the glorious moment when it was called, Biden has won. Trump, who, again, I'll say this quite clearly, if you're listening to this podcast and you're a Trump supporter, bye. I have literally, I'm not having this argument anymore. I have no patience. But since then, Greg, it's been what seems like how long ago was it now? It feels like about a year since the election was won and Trump has just been throwing all manner of poo around the nursery in an attempt to, Greg, from somebody on the ground, what is going on?
Well, what we're witnessing is slightly akin to what happened in Germany in the 30s, or what's happened with the Tories, over the last 4 years, is that it's not so much a matter of why won't anyone stand up and on his side and curb him from his excess, his lying, and his destruction of American society. It's that they're complicit in it and they fully support it. Yeah. And that's a fact that has to be accepted. You can't keep saying, why won't anyone stand up? A bunch of people have. The guy he fired yesterday, Krebs, the head of cybersecurity, was a Republican. Spencer Berger in Georgia, the secretary of state who had to count the votes there, is also a Republican and is standing by the vote count. So, yeah, there are people who are trying to keep society functioning. But your Lindsey Graham, your Mitch McConnell, all those right-wing types, Tom Cotton, whatnot, Ron Johnson, those type of senators, are fine with this. They're not only fine with it, they're aiding and abetting it. What they would like is, to use a movie analogy, because there are so many, a 7 days in May type coup, where power is wrested from the Democrats and kept in control by the Republicans, which then you have that one-party state that is so popular with Hungary and Russia and whatnot. And I think that's what's going on. So he hasn't worked at all. He's been golfing at least 4 or 5 times that I can remember since the election. Yeah. Meanwhile, the COVID epidemic here is running rampant. And yeah, we're really facing in the next month, I think, the whole healthcare system of states collapsing. And for the Republicans not to do anything or sign that giant relief package that's on the Senate's desk, McConnell's desk. It's called the HEROES Act. It was passed in the summer, and it's a $3 trillion jolt. They won't pass it because they said it's full of slush fund, which is hilarious coming from people who literally are a slush fund. So that's where we're at. We're at an impasse here. On the one hand, there's the grinding wheel of reality. And as someone once said, you're entitled to your own opinion, but you're not entitled to your own facts. And there's several screaming facts. One, Biden won the election, and nothing's going to stop that from happening.
And we think at the current estimation, it's about a popular vote of between 5 and 6 million. And the current count of the Electoral College is 306. It's actually exactly what it was at the last election, only the other way around.
They called a landslide for themselves.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's way more votes for Biden than even Hillary got, or Obama for that matter.
Yeah, well, of course, I think, is Trump now the first president to lose the popular vote twice? I think that is a remarkable achievement.
And it's hard to unseat an incumbent, even with there's a pandemic and a revolution going on. Certainly Nixon was reelected. Again, in my lifetime, there's been maybe 4 legitimate presidential elections. Kennedy over Nixon, very sketchy. That one, every dead person in the state of Illinois voted. 64 was legit. 68. Wallace jumped in and was the racist candidate like Trump. He was openly racist. He took away Humphrey. I think he cut the Democratic Party in two, and it has never recovered. White men don't vote Democrat like they did before then. 72 was the white backlash, Nixon, Watergate, skullduggery election. So you tell me. 76 seemed pretty legit. 80 was the one where Reagan made a deal with the Iranians behind Carter's back. So that one, if he also a third party candidate ran, and that always messes up the incumbent. And then of course, 2000 and 2004 were, as I've often said, I was surprised Haiti didn't invade us to install a democracy, because Bush did not win either election, and yet he was president twice. So it's not unusual for this to happen in America. What's unusual is for the entire federal government to not take up arms against this Nazi who won't leave. He should have conceded. He's not going to. He's going to be dragged kicking and screaming. He's dismantling the intelligence agencies and the Pentagon in retaliation right now. And I believe destroying records, because his accountability is a very big issue.
So, okay, just to be clear on a couple of points. Firstly, in terms of the kind of reliability of elections, the problem for me is this. All the investigations so far have said that this was actually the most reliable American election on record. And from both sides of the House, that seems to be the opinion. I don't think that anyone genuinely believes, who actually knows anything, that there's any chance that that the election result isn't correct. I think that Trump supporters have been told something different, and I think they genuinely believe something different, because the tirade of misinformation coming from the president is so extraordinary. I think that's the case. However, just to establish some ground rules, we are in agreement that there is no question that this election is anything other than what it is. Biden has won between 5 and 6 million in the popular vote, and has 306 against whatever Trump was on, 214. And none of these cases that Rudy Giuliani is earning $20,000 a day fighting. I mean, everyone said, why are they fighting the case? I mean, listen, it's just someone's going to pay me $20,000 a day to stand up and do it. Okay, so that's kind of understandable. But it seems to me that the prime reason for what's happening is to create a time lag in which you can create the impression that the election has been stolen, so you can spend the next 4 years crowing and crabbing, of course I won. And the other thing is exactly as you said, to give yourself time to destroy the records, to set fire to the House, to destroy any infrastructure, to make the incoming government's job impossible, even if that involves more people dying through the COVID epidemic, and destroying the records of what you have done. That makes me sound like an X-Files conspiracy theorist, but I think you're on the same page.
I want to believe. I think it's not a matter of that this is happening in a covert atmosphere. He told us he wasn't going to accept the election results unless he won. So he hasn't accepted the election results. He has checked out of the job of president for quite some time. That was never going to actually happen. He detests work. And so the idea that they're going to help us at any point is pretty moot. What can happen are a lot of positive things, but not for 2 months. What's happening now is positive because Joe Biden had a meeting this morning that I watched with Jennifer, who's my wife.
Just like, for those listening on Friday, we're recording this conversation on Wednesday. So we recorded this 48 hours ago. We understand that it's possible that in the 48 hours, Trump has actually nuked the world or declared war on Iran. But meanwhile, on Wednesday, this is the situation.
Evidently, he had to be talked out of that the other day.
Yeah.
So we were pretty excited about that news. And Biden's already put together a staff to help him, you know, the people all around you, the ones that don't have to be approved by the Senate. He's also put together a potential cabinet. He's also put together a group of healthcare professionals. He's also meeting with all the heads of giant corporations and unions. He's already done all this, and he's already continuing to do it. There's also an army of lawyers led by Mark Elias who have gone around the country and put out all these fires, these 20-something crappy cases. So he's moving forward as if he's the president, because he is. And there are grown-ups on board who are trying to make things happen. And at the end of the day, there will be a transition. Whether or not 45 attends the inauguration is completely moot. A lot of people are hoping he won't.
I think everyone's hoping he won't. I think because the general feeling is if he was there, all he would do would be an embarrassment. And if he's somewhere else, then that's fine. It's, you know, I don't think anybody wants him to be there.
He'd have one of those giant foam mitts on that says we're number one and be waving it around. We really won. This will delight you. They're building the scaffolding for the inaugural ceremony as we speak. And it goes right near the White House is where they have it, on Pennsylvania Avenue.
Yeah.
So it can be heard inside the White House, the banging and the clanging of them building the scaffold. And I use the word scaffold, that he will be exited upon. His quietus, as we say, will be visited upon him on the 20th. And our job as Americans, and I love the support we've gotten from all over the world. I think Johnson is a terrible leader. However, Johnson had the wherewithal to phone Biden immediately and go, well, you know, the other guy's out, you're in, let's move on. And that's what every responsible leader in the world has done. And so that has to give you some
hope. Can I just briefly take a moment to pause?
Yeah.
Because and UK audiences will appreciate this. You have just used the phrase responsible leaders and Boris Johnson in the same sentence. Moving on.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
no, I know. You're right. When Boris Johnson is the high watermark, that's where this debate is going. But yes, but you were saying
if Johnson had stayed on the track that Putin's on, or Bolsonaro, who I don't think has acknowledged it, or the PM of Mexico, then you're a dictator. You know, they're the only ones. Even China called, you know, and every other country called immediately. Australia, New Zealand. All of our main allies, Germany, France, Canada. Yeah. And so if they're saying you're the legitimate government, then you are. The Constitution is still in operation, believe it or not. And even if he were to have messed with the process enough that he could have still been in on the 21st, the Constitution dictates that Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, takes over as president. So it wouldn't have worked one way or another. But the job for us is to stay alive, because things are really tough. And that requires, I think, locking down like we had to do back in the day in March and April. And I mean, really locking down, always wearing a mask, no holiday gatherings. And it's not going to happen. It's going to get a little explosive after Thanksgiving here, because Thanksgiving is a real sentimental holiday. It's when you get together with all the family members that you hate and argue while you watch the Detroit Lions football team lose. And then you lay on the floor because you're having a tryptophan overdose because you've eaten too much turkey and mashed potatoes and you can't move anymore and drank so much wine and had an argument with your racist uncle for 4.5 hours. So it's very important that we continue this tradition, which, by the way, was never a holiday. Abraham Lincoln signed it in. It was a made up holiday. And the real story of Thanksgiving is so heinous. It doesn't even begin to be
exactly
the pilgrims. I should say, Greg, were great robbers. Sorry, you know.
Just... Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The last time we spoke, which was before, before the election, obviously in amongst the many things that have happened since then, Biden winning, Kamala Harris, both of them behaving with already presidential, vice presidential dignity, setting up Corona task forces, tweeting responsibly, actually stepping back and allowing Trump to throw all the toys out of the cot without losing their rag rather brilliantly. The one thing that we haven't discussed because we haven't spoken since then is the sight of Rudy Giuliani standing in the parking lot of a landscaping company framed on either side by a mortuary and a dildo store, discovering that Trump had lost the election. If Amando Iannucci had written that in a political satire, it would have been thrown out of a script meeting. They would have said, I mean, the dildo store was just, that's the thing. Honestly, that's the thing that made me believe in God again. It was like, okay, God is with us and on our side.
Exactly. Like the Nazi said, Jennifer and I have been hysterical about it. You're right. We buried the lead. The real story is the Four Seasons Garden Center in Philadelphia. On one side, Fantasy Island. On the other side, the crematorium. And that they really did think it was the Four Seasons Hotel. And I'm sure you've read reporters' accounts, including British reporters who covered it brilliantly. They were like, I called the Four Seasons and was very politely told by the desk, there is no event here today. And then not actually even being able to believe that it was at a garden center. Then in the middle of the meeting, when they were about to call it, Biden got called for president. That was when the media, so half the crowd left.
The joy of seeing Giuliani, somebody calls out from the crowd because the crowd are leaving. Biden won.
Yeah. Giuliani,
what? No, he's won. Yeah.
He's just,
and then so on one side, death, on the other side, dildos, in the middle, Rudy Giuliani being the last person on earth to discover that Biden won.
There was a couple of other happy incidences. Corey Lewandowski is there, who is a total moron, who's been standing for him, for 45 for the last, since he got thrown out of the inner circle. He's been going around the country saying the election was a fraud. He came down with the Rona, and the British reporter went next door and interviewed the guy who runs Fantasy Island, who's a very nice man.
Yeah,
and the guy had a mask on and a plastic up everywhere. They were saying the COVID protocols at Fantasy Island were better than the White House, which is a total. The same amount of sex toys. The protocol were better there. And the other lead we buried, and this is what gives me hope to carry on, is Kamala Harris. So I really what we, Jennifer and I have been talking about the podcast for the last 2 weeks is we're going to have not just a woman, but a woman whose mother was Indian, whose father was Jamaican. She is going to be right there, baby. Office in the White House, executive power, the first woman ever elected to executive office in our country. It's historic. The fact that she's Black and Indian is astonishing. Indian Americans are a giant group, obviously, and well represented in the United States. I think people are joyful over this. Black women, again, have saved the democracy and pushed her over the edge by voting in a giant block for her. Indian Americans voted for her in a giant block. Caribbean Americans, in their numbers, voted for Kamala because she's the daughter of all these places. And I'm from the Bay Area, right? You know, I'm from San Francisco, so I'm already poisoned. She carried San Francisco. Biden Harris carried San Francisco by like 80%. I mean, like it was off the charts. No county in California actually voted as much for her. And we live down here in Hollywood, so there's Nazis here, but it was pretty liberal. But that's the moment I think that we should all embrace is imagine you guys have had two women PMs. So you're familiar with the idea of a woman PM, but both of the ones you had were wildly conservative. Whereas we're getting someone who's enlightened and progressive, able to argue her case. She's succinct. And you know what I mean? Like she's a great lawyer. She's a great advocate. And a beautiful person. Like her and her husband love each other. Biden and his wife love each other. They get on stage and they snuggle and they laugh and they dance and they sing and they tell jokes to each other. And you see the Grim Reaper over there in the White House, man. He's when he hit that press conference that he gave where he said he won and then he walked off like Bigfoot or whatever. And, the wife doesn't touch him. She's always batting his hand away. And
but I think, I think generally everybody kind of understands that the relationship that he has with her is completely contractual. I mean, it's, you know, it's a business transaction. I don't think anybody thinks for one minute that the illusion of actual personal intimacy I did wait up to watch. I mean, I was basically awake for four straight days, Greg. I didn't sleep. And when Kamala Harris's speech happened just before Joe Biden, it was about 3 o'clock in the morning here, and I had been awake for about 3 days. I was in tears. I mean, I was I can't remember the last time I saw a political speech. I was literally in floods of tears. And I'm really glad I waited up. I'm really glad I was watching the television at the moment that it was called 3 days beforehand. I was actually seeing it happen. I still have that feeling of hope. And I remember, you know, Obama being elected and thinking, this is a moment of change. And I'd seen Kamala Harris get up on that stage and speak as eloquently as she did, followed by Joe Biden running on stage like the most awake person in the whole world, and then doing a speech, the inclusivity of which just hit everything. He was saying gay, straight, trans, you know,
disabled people.
I was in bits, and I really thought, and actually I think one of the things that I think is difficult about this period now is the stench of Trump. Just kind of, I just want it out the way so that we can just enjoy the magnificent victory. And unfortunately, all the press coverage is on Trump. There is a brilliant BBC journalist over here called Roz Atkins, who's been doing fantastic pieces on Outside Source and the BBC News about, you know, what's been going on. And I think they've been great because I think they have been educational, but also kind of entertaining. His piece about the Four Seasons is just a remarkable piece of journalism. But I want to just ask you to look ahead. Just say Trump carries on being the way he is. Do you envisage a scenario when they, because he's now said he's not going home for Thanksgiving. I think what everybody thought was he'd go to Mar-a-Lago and then he wouldn't come back. But he's kind of bunkered himself in because he knows if he goes out, they're not letting him back in again.
Yeah.
What would the best, because I actually want to see him dragged out, as you say, kicking and screaming. Is there any possibility of that happening?
I think what the last 4 years have shown us is that there's a possibility of literally anything happening. Since we've seen him get elected, we've seen him cage children, we've seen atrocities committed in our name that we never imagined could happen, a pandemic, a blue wave in 2018 that swept a million women into the Congress. By the way, the conservatives put in another dozen women into Congress in this election. So women on both sides are raging forward. There's a chance he'll be kicking and screaming. I always thought he would split and go to Saudi. That was always my like secret sci-fi plan was that because at the beginning of this, I wrote a 2-page sci-fi thing for a friend of mine named John King, who's a writer down in Florida who runs the Jack Kerouac House. And he said, just write me a little something. Are you writing about this? And I went, no. And I wrote it in the style of a detective novel. Like I was a detective during the Corona. And one of the lines in my thing was, the Trumpkins kept having Corona rallies, which they did. And I was just, you know, making that up. And I thought, and then you saw till the bitter end, they were meeting in their thousands to give each other Corona.
Yeah. Yeah, the super spreader rallies have been amazing. I have to say, from outside of America, watching those things on television, I think everyone, regardless of political affiliation, have just had their jaws on the floor.
Yep.
I mean, the statistics for Corona in America are absolutely jaw-dropping.
Yep.
But the rallies?
And he left old people standing in the cold in Nebraska. He left a bunch of people on the tarmac and endangering them. People had to go to the emergency ward. The idea that he cares about anyone and doesn't just want everyone to die is sort of taking a beating. So there's a chance he'll be kicked and dragged out. My guess is he'll probably slink out the day before or the day of and be really bitchy about it and hold his own separate press conference and try to steal focus.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's they keep talking about him running in 2024, but I don't see that happening.
That's okay. I mean, him talking about running in 2024, it's fine. I mean, he looks like, to be honest with you, he looks like he's about to expire anyway. Everyone keeps saying, oh, he's so high energy. No, he looks like, you know, the whole joke about him saying Sleepy Joe. It's just Joe Biden, you know, cycling, running, Trump unable to hold a glass, unable to walk up ramps, frightened of stairs, you know. You see him on the golf course and you think he's not going to make the end of that round, is he? I mean, he's not a well man in any way at all.
No, he's mentally, obviously, wildly incapacitated. There's a very strong possibility that he's an Adderall addict, which is a stimulant that people take, and he tends to abuse that. Chunks of it have flown out of his nose at several press conferences in the last few months, and everybody's seen it. Which is pretty weird that the press never kind of jumped on that. So, yeah, I think any scenario is possible. One thing I think we can count on, though, is that Biden and Harris are going to carry on acting calm and like adults. Like you said, they haven't lost their rag, and it's been really noble of them. This phone call that we watched this morning with all these healthcare people in Wisconsin with Biden, he was empathetic. He was caring. He listened. He's so reassuring because he wants to engage with people as opposed to hide in a bunker, take a bunch of drugs, and then come out and scream and rage tweet all day. Yeah. At this point, there's a guy named Daniel Dale here, who's a Canadian, who at the beginning of this was working for the Toronto Star. CNN hired him to fact check. So this poor man has had to listen to every word for 4 years, and he goes through it categorically and fact checks it, which he does on CNN now. So they bring him on. He writes it on their website, and he goes on TV and says, this was a lie, this was a lie, this was a lie. Today he tweeted, we've reached another point where he's like, I know you're just going to say this is what's always happening, but he's like, he's abandoned the truth completely now. He is only speaking in lies.
Yeah. It's also, tweeting
in lies.
And the firing of the cyber intelligence head, it's the George Orwell, you know, 2 + 2 = 5. There is now two absolutely separate versions of reality. So I think the most important thing to say from this side of the pond, firstly, I genuinely want to say thank you for holding my hand in the days before, because you know, I was terrified that it wasn't going to happen, because I haven't been to America for a long time. I, you know, the idea of going to America under a Trump leadership, I find distasteful. And I really was starting to think that, you know, it's like the Oscar Wilde thing. To elect him once is unfortunate. To elect him twice starts to look like carelessness. The fact that it was such a resounding victory. I know at the beginning everyone's saying, oh, well, it isn't. You go, no, it is. Wait till the votes come in. And the fact that it's 5 or 6 million, that it's the most amount of people that have ever voted for a president. I love the fact that Trump keeps saying, you know, I got the most amount of people that ever voted for president that lost. Well, hey, that's fine. You know, take that. That's great. So thank you for that. Your enthusiasm and your positivity saw me through a really dark time. I have had a spring in my step ever since this happened. I want everything to be finished now so that we never have to talk about him ever again. But I found this very cathartic getting out of my... But won't it be great when all that brain space can go somewhere else? You don't have to wake up in the morning and wonder what madness that... I mean, if he goes off and runs a television show, fine. If he goes, you know, I don't need to watch any of it.
Mm-mm. And, you know, just like you say, having my shoulders come down, having every joint in my body not ache, being able to sleep without sweating all night, and having nightmares and stuff, it'll be great. And we're all really looking forward to it. It's a matter of like simple survival now and trying to, I always think about when I'm really down, which is about half the time, of all the people that worked so hard over the course of 244 years of our so-called democracy. And by that, I mean, all the women and some of the men who had to endure intense racism and be denied their right to vote. And for it to end this way with putting in a very nice man and a groundbreaking woman has to, that's the payoff, you know? How does Kamala Harris get up in the morning? You'd think, oh my God, she knows too much. She's on the Intel committee. So she sees what other countries are doing and she sees what our country is doing about that. She does. She gets up and she's positive and she has a sense of humor still. She can dance and laugh still. And I kind of feel like you have to hold on to that. All the people that have it worse than me, I have a house, you know, I don't have a job, but that's everybody in America right now. So, you know, I think that, by the way, Mark, it was my pleasure to be positive with you. Jennifer and I, you know, part of what we do on our podcast is really try to never sink into the abyss because it doesn't help anybody. And also, we're too privileged to snivel. If you have any privilege at all, you've got to spread it around and give voice to other people. And I think you do that. And I think we've tried to do it. And I'm not crediting myself. I'm just saying Jennifer had to do triage on all of her friends on election night. I mean, you know, the phone was just bouncing around the room.
Yeah, and I was DMing you saying, what's going on? At one point, I think it was 4 o'clock in the morning, I sent you a message saying, tell me it's going to be all right.
I did. You know, I knew on the night because Fox News called Arizona really early. And when Fox News cuts you out, you know, to be honest, any other candidate, they would have called the election immediately. Yeah, but because it's him and he's got his death grip on the media, they were too afraid to.
My favorite moment of the Fox coverage was Fox cutting away from the president's press conference because it was shit. It literally came back and went, okay, well, I'm sorry, we can't broadcast that because that's just not true. And on the BBC, the BBC have done a fantastic job, actually. The phrase that the BBC constantly uses, they'll have a bit of, you know, Trump going, lie, 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 lie. And it'll come back to the BBC and there'll be a pause and they'll go, none of that is correct. And then they just, it's just become the phrase, you know, without evidence, there is no proof, and none of that is correct. Anyway, now the weather.
Yeah. It's really wild. And this is in the last month, a lot of individual reporters here, I wouldn't say the entire news media has distinguished itself in the post election cycle. Because they still want him to dominate every news cycle, and there's no reason for him to do it. He's literally irrelevant now because he's not going to do a damn thing to help the country or anyone. So it's best to ignore and try to just move forward. Having said that, a bunch of reporters here have started pushing back really hard on the lies. They should have been doing it for 4 years, but their bosses are rich white guys. These companies are owned by rich white guys, and they love the tax break. They really did. They love the tax break more than they love the quarter of a million dead people. So it's been nice to see reporters literally shouting down Trumpkins on TV and say, no, that's not true. You're just lying. You're just lying. You're just lying. You're just lying. Because it hasn't happened for 4 years. They've been given ample time to fill the air with bullshit. And that's coming to an end, I think. And yes, I can't wait for the day that his limo drives off. If you follow... there's a historian who does telly here, and his name is Michael Beschloss. And if you follow his Twitter feed, all he does is throw shade at 45. For instance, yesterday he posted for his history fact, on this day in history, the Beatles released I'm a Loser. But it's always like that. And then yesterday was a picture of Bush shaking hands with Clinton on the White House lawn as the transition proceeded, because it happened on that very day. So every single tweet is a historical moment of, you know, just cutting him down. And it's really good.
Now, Greg, if people over here want to be picked up by the sound of you and Jennifer, where do they find your podcast?
GregProops.com, or you can go to at Greg Proops on Twitter. And the podcast, it comes out usually on Monday, but sometimes on Tuesday, because like this weekend we were crazy. And then the weekend before that was the weekend that he won. So yeah. Biden and Harris won. And I wrote my guys and I'm like, the podcast is going to be late this week. And they were like, enjoy today. So GregProops.com is where you can go. And then I do online shows that you can watch in England as well. And they're all listed under the website there. Got a stand-up one on the 28th, got a podcast on the 9th. And then on December 12th, we're doing a Who's Line thing with Colin Mochrie and Ryan and everybody, an improv show. So,
which would be fantastic. Yeah. Greg, thank you so much. Honestly, you have been the beacon of hope through all of this for me. you and I are good friends anyway. I'll say again what I said at the beginning. The politics is never going away. Having no politics is a political stance. So if you're listening to this, you don't like the politics, okay, there's loads of other things out there. Go listen to one of them. This is what we do. I'm proud to be a friend. And honestly, what a great thing.
Right.
Biden and Harris is just, you know, has put a spring in my step that nothing else could have done, frankly.
Well, thanks for having me on, Mark. And I'm proud to be your friend as well. And I couldn't be more excited that we won and that I believe society got a reprieve.
Greg, thanks ever so much.
Thanks,
love to both of you, and sending you all good wishes from across the Atlantic.